Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis for another day of broadcast insolence. Violetta Pitomedic is with us. Kevin Powell is with us out here at the United Center.
We're at the UC.
Goose Island. Goose Island Pub, which is it's on one of the corners. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get in the building, it's really, really, really hard to figure out where you are at any given moment. It's like a Las Vegas casino,
isn't it?
But
not a square, it's a circle. So you just keep going round
right.
and round.
Wasn't I just here? It's like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, right? You know, when Fred and Barney would run and they'd go past the plant and then the window and then the plant and then the window.
Right.
It's the same thing. So that's basically what has happened here. But if you want to come by, it's the Goose Island Pub. If you're coming to the game tonight, come by and say hello.
And the nice part is, no matter where you are, there's always a really cool place to eat or hang out wherever you are in the circle. So
yeah, there's no shortage of distractions because it's like pop-up bar this. There's great restaurants now. It's a premier venue. There's no question about it. Going to other arenas, you will absolutely be like, wow, I miss the United Center right now.
Yeah. Because a lot to check out.
They set the bar for everybody.
And now you've got the atrium. You can see the Michael Jordan statue there and the other stuff that's popping up, like the new Blackhawks store over there with the Bulls merchandise as well.
I climbed up on the statue because I got here a little early.
Do they allow that?
And
Security see that?
I found out they don't.
No.
The hard one.
I would not imagine that would
they
be
They frown
okay.
upon that?
Yeah.
You heard the sniper and went down. We had to revive Ro right before the show.
The taser came out.
Ow!
Oh, they went right to that?
Well, you know what?
Bullets?
It was a dart, and I've been now tranquilized.
Okay.
So that explains the rest of the show. By the way, our broadcast at the United Center before the Blackhawks take on the New York Rangers. Wow, this is a ton of fun to see these two original six teams skating here. This is the problem with being in the West for the Hawks, is that all these natural old-time hockey rivals you only get to see once a year here.
That's true, but when they do come to town, it's an event. It seems like everyone I know was trying to get a ticket for tonight because it's Original Six, it's the Rangers,
and
it doesn't get much bigger than that.
New Yorkers who've been transplanted here, they want to come see the Rangers. It's all brought to you by Geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO.
Aren't the Rangers on a roll, though?
Yeah, they've won six straight. It's the longest winning streak of the season so far. They're coming in hot.
Ouch. They're about to lose.
I like that.
You know what? I like that, too, because I know
we'll
that this is
that.
The moment where the Hawks kind of make that, or start to make that twisty-turny-turny twist.
Here. I hope so.
Toward championship form.
It's a weird game Sunday, but let's hope they can get things back on track here. Corey Crawford's been dominant all season, except for Sunday, which is sort of just a weird game all around. But, you know, if not for Crawford, the Hawks would be in much more trouble than they are right now. He's been the MVP of the team so far.
Yeah, he's 93%.
93%.
Man.
Been very good.
In the net right now. 93.2, actually.
Yeah.
All right, let us stop here. It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Senator Dick Durbin is joining us now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And I would, Senator, there's nothing to see here. Just move along. Let's start with Roy Moore, who now there's a new poll out that came out today that says that he may be 12 points back against the Democrat. In your estimation, should Roy Moore step aside, or is it better for Democrats in your side of the aisle that he stays in this thing?
We have a good candidate. And I think he can win, and as long as Moore is in the race, his chances of winning are stronger. This is up to the people of Alabama to decide. But certainly there are a lot of folks in this town, in Washington, and around the country that are saying this man should never be in the Senate.
Well, there are a few things that have come out, too, just even the last 24 hours. The mall allegations, that he was kicked out of a mall back in the day. Even Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham, came out to say that doesn't seem right, if that's true, that somebody would be
on a watch list in a mall for being
was kicked out, or for harassing young women.
And at the time, I think he was a county prosecutor. If I'm not mistaken, I may have that.
Right,
may not
I think
be
that sounds
accurate,
right.
But I think that's right. And to think that he was asked not to come to the mall in the town where he's the county prosecutor. That's a little. If that's fact, I mean, he's denied everything from start to finish. But if some of these things can be verified, I mean, it really makes the case that something was going on in this man's life that has raised serious questions about his fitness for office.
The president of the Senate has just floated the idea of Jeff Sessions maybe running as a writing candidate because he would be sort of an easier name for Alabamans to remember and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Bizarre. I mean, this is unusual for a senator who is given the second or third highest post in the United States of America as Attorney General to be asked to leave it after less than a year to come back and run for the Senate again. Something is very unusual about this situation. And I think it reflects the fact that maybe the president wants a new attorney general. For myself, from my personal point of view, I'm less concerned about who the attorney general is than whether Bob Mueller is going to finish his investigation. I worry that this is part of a strategy to derail his investigation. Whatever Mr. Mueller comes up with, I'll accept because I think he's a professional. But if this is a subtle strategy to put in a new attorney general who would then fire him, I wouldn't want to see that happen.
Do you think the DOJ is operating with full effectiveness here? Do you think it's been politically compromised in any way?
I think it has. When the president says to Lester Holt, well, I fired Comey because he was on this Russian investigation. I mean, that really gets to the heart of our Constitution and whether anyone, president included, is above the law. What the president said was getting too close for comfort, so I fired him. You know, that is an admission no president has ever made. And then we have this request from Republicans in Congress to renew the investigation of Hillary Clinton, crooked Hillary, and all the stuff they used to say about her. That is rarely, if ever, done by members of Congress, encouraging the Department of Justice to start an investigation. We try to keep the department and the FBI and those agencies above politics. We don't always do it, but we try to. And this is an overt effort to use the department politically.
It is interesting, by the way, that speaking of that issue of the Uranium One deal, even Shepard Smith from the Fox News Channel yesterday did a piece about 5 minutes where he explained the Uranium One deal in the aftermath of something the president had said about it a while ago. While on the campaign trail, the president tried to boil it down based on the argument that was made about the uranium deal being dirty in a book that came out about Clinton money during the campaign. And basically, Shepard Smith from the Fox News Channel debunked the entire argument that this was a criminal conspiracy, the Uranium One deal. Now, you know, when it comes to other issues about the emails and all of that, I mean, that's one thing. But the uranium deal, Uranium One deal, you even saw Jeff Sessions yesterday in the House hearing push back and say to one of the congressmen who you're referring to, Senator, saying, well, you know, why aren't you going after her? And he's like, listen, you got to know what the facts are. This is
right.
Sessions saying
grounds
to him,
for that.
You have to
That's
know
right.
what this is. And it does appear that there doesn't seem to be any there, even if the Fox News Channel says it.
Do you have any lingering questions about that, Senator, about the Uranium
One
deal?
Do
you think anything further needs to be investigated?
No, I don't. And it's based on everything I know now, and I have to agree with Jeff Sessions. You have some facts we don't know, let's hear them. If not, the suspicion is not enough. And what I've read really just dismisses this as anything serious. This is part of a fog machine. Because this investigation involving Manafort and others, Papadopoulos and others, continues, and Jeff Sessions has to come before a Republican House Judiciary Committee and explain contradictions in his testimony, many are trying to create another scenario. You know, follow the shiny object. I'm moving it away from where you're currently looking. And I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
What about the tax plan, Senator? We heard some more pushback from a few Republican senators today. Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin is concerned that this benefits corporations over small businesses. You see a little bit of pushback on deficit concerns from the other side, and even Susan Collins saying this repeal of the mandate, the Obama individual mandate, is a problem for her because of how many people would result from that being kicked off insurance or not have insurance. Do you feel this is anywhere near going to be passed, or there's a lot of confidence from leadership?
It's hard to predict at this point what's going to happen, but it's going to happen in the next several weeks. Consider this: the Senate tax reform bill was disclosed to the public just last Friday. It's the first time we've seen the bill in writing, and now the committee is currently having hearings on the bill and will shortly start to consider amendments. Last night at 10:30. The Republican chairman of the committee said, oh, we're going to change the bill. And he changed it and put in this new provision eliminating the individual mandate under health insurance, a pretty dramatic change that takes health insurance away, we estimate, from 13 to 14 million Americans.
Almost immediately, right? Isn't that the issue?
Well,
because
a lot of these
numbers that we hear about.
Incentive,
yeah, go ahead.
Once there's no penalty or incentive to buy health insurance, many will not. for financial reasons or because they think they're invincible. We know what's going to happen to some of them. They're going to end up very sick, needing care, and not have health insurance. But this is one way to avoid paying a subsidy for their premiums if they're lower or middle income, and putting that money toward a tax cut. The tax cuts, first and foremost, benefit the wealthiest people in our country. If every Republican tax plan starts with changing the estate tax, it's a tell, as they say on poker on television. It's a tell. If they are going to give relief to the estate tax, it's for someone who has an estate worth more than $11 million when they die. That's darn few. Like one out of every 1,000 Americans qualifies. So what they're doing is giving tax breaks to the wealthy. Some working people will see a tax cut. Others will see a tax increase, particularly in Illinois, where we're going to have to pay a tax on a tax, the double taxation, which the Republican plan calls for. And so at the end of the day, I can understand even Republicans throwing up their hands and saying, slow this train down. Let's see what's on board. Let's not do things we're going to regret.
Quickly about the president's trip to Asia, did you think that sum total there, it was positive for America, neutral, negative?
It was kind of a mixed message. Part of the message was, listen, this is America first. When it comes to trade, we do what's best for our own selves and the heck with the other guy. But when it comes to security and controlling North Korea, we've got to stand together. Well, some of these Asian countries are puzzled. They said, so we stand together when you need us for threats in the neighborhood, but we don't stand together when it comes to working out a trade agreement. So it was a mixed message going in. I don't think the president pulled it off very cleanly.
All right. All right, we will leave it there. Senator, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
Senator
as
Gavin.
Always.
All right, good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, sir. All right, we are live at the United Center right here, getting ready for the Blackhawks and the – oh, God, do I hate them. I hate every team except for the Blackhawks and the NHL.
You say that about every team.
But the New York Rangers. But I love their sweater. I love the uniform.
Yeah. There's something
hard
special.
To hate on that. They got a nice thing going there.
They do.
The second best one, you think, in the NHL?
Ooh, I don't know about that. You know who I've always liked, although I know a lot of people think they're ugly and everybody hates this team. I've always kind of liked the Flyers. I'm sorry for admitting that.
It's orange.
I know, but I like the orange, black, and white.
Oh, no.
Orange.
No, no.
Nobody likes orange,
no.
Kevin. That's weird.
No, except blue and orange.
I knew when I said this. You guys would hate on it. I don't think it would.
Too much orange.
Okay,
orange is an accent color. It's not a primary color.
It's very vibrant.
Yeah, I don't like when the Bears do that orange thing.
I guess the Bruins have an iconic look as well.
Yeah, the Montreal Canadiens for me.
Canadians.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Habitant.
Okay.
I like that the best.
But we can all agree the Blackhawks by far, it's not even close.
Yeah,
in a long shot.
Right.
In all of sports, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But
it is
fun too at Madison Square Garden. They got the big Rangers logo outside, up on the screen. It's it's a very great thing. All right, now everybody's taking votes around.
Maple Leafs, we like.
This
we
is not a democracy
over
here.
I like the Maple Leafs.
I do too. Actually, I'd forgotten about that one.
It's just boring. It's just blue and white.
It doesn't have the tie on it.
It's classy.
I guess the actual
gotta
logo
class it up a little sometimes.
You know, the Blackhawks logo was voted best in sports. End of conversation.
True.
Thank you and good night.
The millennial in me likes the Mighty Ducks from the original Mighty Ducks movie.
Rokonjo with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN Live Broadcast United Center for the Hawks take on the New York Rangers is brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. All right, here he is. Here's our main man. Here's the guy. Here's the skill set right here, Tom Skilling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Ro. Hi, Anna. How are you guys? You're there next to all the wonderful food at the United Center.
Yes, we are. They're just starting. This is the moment right here at about, the puck drops at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
So we're just about, 3 hours and 15 minutes away, let's say. And all the kitchens are starting to heat up around the concourse. They're starting to, the lights are coming on and they're starting to cook things and, get things going.
3 hours, that's plenty of time to, thoroughly sample the wares out there. And those are tremendous wares.
No question.
Isn't it funny how these sporting venues have become incredible culinary venues, It's amazing what's available.
It used to be like the nachos, the hot dogs.
Well, right.
We were talking about this on Monday when you watch a football game now. You see a lot of empty seats right after halftime, and I don't think that's because attendance is low. It's because there's so many amenities throughout the parks and stadiums now. People are like,
you want to eat.
You're getting a beer at an awesome bar that's on the concourse. It's a whole event now. It's not just go to the game and get a hot dog.
Yeah, you run over and have a five-course dinner, during the break in the action.
It's true, and you hunt down something that's nowhere near your seats because you heard it's good.
Right.
I've done that before.
You got tacos here. You got Gibson's pop-up bar here.
Oh, I know. You know, when I used to do the midday show, they'd have some of the chefs over, the food people from the, from White Sox Park or down at Wrigley Field or out at the United Center. And it's
Levy,
just
generally, those are the people who do it, yeah.
Oh, it's just amazing. Well, that's got to be hard to do a broadcast if you're hungry.
It's hard to concentrate, Tom.
Well, don't worry. The next segment, the chef's going to come by and bring his own. He brings a carving station to us. That keeps us coming back.
Yeah.
We are having... media elite problems over here. That's what we are. People go, well, you're the media elite. Well, yeah, I guess it's sort of we are. Yeah. All right. So the sun just popped out. Now we're here at the United Center, but I walked down over by the doors, and I saw that the sun has made an appearance today. Because when I woke up this morning, it was
UGLY.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're saying sayonara to this one and, hello to the next one later in the week. But a nice break in between. It's going to get a little bit cooler. You know, it speaks volumes about this month that a high today of 52 ties for the warmest of the month. We had 70-degree temperatures last year in the opening days of November. And this is clearly a November of a whole different nature, given the cool weather we've had. But you know, it's interesting. There's a cold punch coming on the backside of this thing that brings the rain in Friday night and Saturday. And that'll last about a day. But all these things are very transient. They keep moving along. And there are some indications we're going to warm up nicely Thanksgiving or post-Thanksgiving. I wouldn't be surprised we see mid-40s on Thursday and get into the 50s next Friday.
Right after that. Oh, that's good. That's
wouldn't
good
that be nice?
Yeah. For the parade, too.
People go out and start shopping and all, and the weather would cooperate right there. So we'll see if that holds up, but that seems to be the way it's looking right now.
Tom, my sister's getting married next weekend, so you're telling me right now it's looking fairly good for this time of year?
Yeah, it's looking fairly mild.
Okay, good.
You know what, Kevin, I haven't looked at all the details.
I know it's still a little bit away, but just curious.
But
now, let me just ask you a question here, Tom. I'm just going to ask you a question. If you got invited to a wedding on a Saturday after Thanksgiving, would you consider that to be an act of, well, that's great, the whole family's going to be in town, or would you be like that SOB, I just wanted the weekend off? Which camp do you, because it'll surprise people which camp I fall into on this. But
well, I hear you, Ro. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I'm so happy when you hear somebody gets married. I figure, what the heck?
Come on, Tom. Cut it out. You don't know who they are. You don't want to show up. Come on.
There are moments where you make commitments to things, and as you're getting ready, you think, why did I do this?
I know. Well, actually, I want to say that I think it's a great idea to do it on the Thanksgiving Saturday, because by Thanksgiving Saturday, even though you are sick and tired of all the relatives, this gives you another opportunity to like sort of refresh, and it gives you someplace to go, and it is it'll be an exciting thing. I like the idea of
it. But aren't you kind of lazy after eating for the rest of that weekend? I just kind of want to sit in front of the TV. I feel like,
can everyone just say it's the best idea ever to make my mom and sister happy?
But your mom's a brilliant person, and your sister's going to have a beautiful wedding.
It's going to be the best wedding ever.
And thanks
for
inviting us. We'll all be there.
Yeah, sure.
No,
sure.
I want to say that I'm not kidding about this. I really I had friends who got married last year on the weekend, and it was great.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, Ro, you make a good comment, an interesting observation, too. Everybody's in town anyway, so,
that's true.
Kind of perfect planning,
New Year's Eve is an obnoxious day to have
a wedding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That New Year's Eve thing, that kind of, blows everybody up a little bit on New Year's Eve.
Well, you're kind of afraid to be on the roads sometimes, because what do they say? The amateurs come out on New Year's Eve.
Oh, it's amateur hour, baby. Mm-hmm. I know it. I actually built a bunker just for New Year's Eve, one day a year.
you just kind of retreat into the bunker, huh?
It was, it is like the craziest thing ever. But I just think that I like the idea, especially if you're in town and you're visiting relatives and you're staying, in the little kid's bunk bed or you're sleeping on the couch or God forbid.
On the air mattress?
You know, the air mattress or whatever it is. that Saturday, because that Saturday is like the day where you're like, I should have just gone back on Saturday. I can't believe I have to stay till tomorrow. At least it gives you a reason to be there, and it sort of reinvigorates the weekend. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Beautiful.
Hey, speaking of this, speaking of air mattresses, I was just talking to... Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting. You know, the Winter Olympics are coming up, mm-hmm. and they're going to be in South Korea.
Yeah.
And I was talking to some of the guys who are going over there to work the Olympics mm-hmm. on the media side.
Yeah.
And they were told, I just wanted to imagine this for a second. They were told that the initial idea for accommodations for, like, American crews that are going over there to do this mm-hmm. Is heated floors with mats on them.
Ooh.
Instead of beds.
Wow.
Well.
And.
Could be worse.
Still an opportunity. I mean, it's almost kind of Spartan, isn't it? Because they throw up those buildings so quickly. And it's not like some of them aren't even built to last. I covered the Olympics in Greece, and you bunked in a room that was half the size of my Northwestern dorm room. And the beds were like 6 inches apart. And it was it was fine. It was clean.
Yeah.
But. You were never in the room because
you
worked
bunking
so
with
hard.
An
anchor from New York who found that it was not up to her standards, so she left, and I had the whole thing to myself.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't you love it when your freshman year, when your roommate can't hack it after the first weekend, and you're like, hey, I got a single. At least for a semester.
It turned into a single. Yeah. Yes, it was fortuitous.
You raise an interesting point, though. I hadn't really thought about this with what's going on with North Korea. With that,
don't start.
Would that creep up there decide to use that as an opportunity to, make a statement or something like that? I don't know.
He's going to be on it. I think they're going to send Michael Jordan to go babysit him for 2 weeks.
Rodman.
No, yeah. Jordan.
Oh, Jordan.
No, actually send Jordan. Because Rodman, he's used to. They send Jordan, and it's like... Yeah. Hey, baby, let's play a little one-on-one.
That's a good idea. Send the entire Bulls team. From,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Horace Grant with the big glasses. I love your glasses. Yeah, put them on. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. What a great
idea.
Put the goggles on again. And then he scores no matter what. Even if it doesn't even make the rim. Oh, hey, you didn't see that. That went in.
Right.
Yeah. No, I.
Something, though. It is a concern. You're right, Tom. You think about that.
Well, he wants to get paid off, or he wants to be paid attention to, or whatever it happens to be, and this, you know, clearly he knows a lot of his bad behavior here is realizing that in 2 months, I mean, it is 2 months away, the Winter Olympics, the crews and the people start loading in the middle of January, mm-hmm. and it starts in February.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
Such an honor to be asked to do that, though. But I would imagine there would be, back of your mind or top of your mind, there'd be a little bit of a security concern if you're heading that way.
Well, if it's nuclear, you never know the difference. That's the nice part.
That's comforting.
Yeah, there's a lovely
thought. I won't even know it's coming.
Remember when we talked about this before, when we got under the desks and all like that was going to do anything when we were little?
For nuclear?
Oh, yeah. When we were in grade school, you know, people of... our advanced generation. You did that road, didn't you? Get under the.
You did a nuclear attack drill.
Oh yeah, they did civil defense drills.
Now that I think about it, maybe like when kindergarten, first grade, something like that. I think
gotcha.
We were doing that.
See, I guess I'm the old timer here. They had a full thing. They would sound the civil defense sirens.
The cannons.
I do remember this, yeah.
Yeah, and everything. If you were driving, you were to pull over to the side of the road. If you were in school as a grade school student, you were to get underneath the desks. And, you know, you look back, we had no idea. We'd seen the pictures of nuclear explosions, but we had no idea what the capacity of these weapons were. And now,
right, exactly.
You think how ridiculous, you know.
So this is what this is going to be my Thanksgiving dinner, like having
what
everybody
are you gonna
over.
Do?
Yeah,
and talk about. I just want to say, just in case Kim Jong-un should launch a thermonuclear attack, none of us will know the difference. Yeah. Could you pass the Brussels sprouts, please?
Oh, that's.
Or do they give me gas?
Yeah. I tell you.
That's one way to get everyone out of your house early.
Yeah, sure is.
Really.
That's
seriously.
Yeah. time.
Sorry, don't worry. I don't want to stay till Saturday.
By the way, I just want to say that that reverberated all the way down the concourse here at the United Center.
It's still going around. It's going to make its way back here in like 30 seconds.
They're scared out of their minds, these people. They're running.
They're like, what the hell is he just talking about?
Stay away from that.
Speaking of that, do you bring a reverb machine with you out there on remotes?
We
right?
You know what? The funny thing, and I got to say, I always want to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
To WGN, they always make sure that wherever we are and however we're doing it, there's always like a group of, you know, they give us exactly what we need wherever it is.
Mm-hmm. It's terrific.
And they know that I'm just stuck. I'm addicted.
Yeah.
This is the, I'm having a reverb crisis that Melania Trump is going to start talking about.
Uh-huh.
That's how big of a crisis this is. So I'm addicted to it. So, yes, they bring
wow.
it
and the sound machine, too. We always have that with us, too.
Exactly. It's kind of interesting to hear how the sausage is made. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
yeah.
You need that.
Yeah.
At all times.
It's very good.
Uh-huh. Who doesn't bring their horses and dogs?
Listen to this.
See, Tom, doesn't that help the broadcast?
It does. Oh. Yeah. Easy, Fido. Oh, gee. Oh, God.
All right, well, that's enough of that. All right, what's coming up on the weather? So it was nice in the afternoon today.
Yeah, it'll continue clearing tonight. There'll be sun out tomorrow, and it'll be 42. Then we cloud over Friday. It'll start with some sun, though, and I think much of the day Friday there won't be precipitation until maybe late, and it's more likely Friday night, Saturday. Then we turn cool and chilly, actually, on Sunday and start warming back up again. We'll be in the mid to upper – sorry, I just hit the mic. Be in the mid to upper 40s on
– I thought that was the horses.
No, that's not
Someone's
one of Rose's sound
Tom's
effects.
Killing.
Right, make sure the dog doesn't bite Tom. All right.
I'm sorry.
Dogs like Tom.
Sorry, Fido.
So it's not a problem.
Know. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. That's – boy, that's one angry dog. Well
– Loud too.
Gee, I guess.
Swear to God, everybody's turning around going, is that the bomb dog? Yeah. What is that?
Hey, do you
There's
know
no one over here in the United Center right now? They've all sort of fled the area.
Yeah, I know. This is, and they send one guy over. And then all of a sudden, they find the one Chicago cop who's still in the concourse. Uh-huh. He's coming over with his hands on his belt.
Right,
all
sir.
Right.
We're going to need to have a conversation.
I didn't even know what's going on here.
Who's
huh?
the funny guy? Who's
yeah, wise guy.
Do you know we had the police department here with bomb sniffing dogs the other night?
We did?
Yeah.
Over at work?
And over here at Bradley Place.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that and Bill Snyder, my producer, walked in and said, oh, the police department's out here with the bomb sniffing dogs. And I remember I used to work at
You don't want to go and pet those guys.
No.
That's the
you're not supposed to do that, right?
No, because it screws up their smell.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, they're not really trained to be attack dogs, but they're, you know, they're working. They got a specific thing. You don't want to mess with the, like what they're working on.
Right. I remember when I was in college working at a radio station up in Madison, we'd have bomb threats. This was back in the Vietnam War and all the time.
Right.
And everybody would exit the building. There'd be like 300 people hundreds of yards from the building out on the road in front of the station. We were out kind of on the edge of town. And the poor radio guy, nobody would tell him. And he'd look out the window and see the whole staff out there lined up on the road. He'd come to the door and say, what's everybody doing out there? And we said, oh, there's a bomb threat. And he said,
isn't that always the way in radio? We're the last to know.
I know. It's just
by the way,
so
you guys
sad.
Just got sold.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
You did?
Meet the new owners.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I know.
We don't really need to. Just give me your key card. Let's move along. All right. Well, Tom, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Ro.
Appreciate it.
Anna? Kevin,
thanks, Tom.
Violetta, everybody, good to talk to you. Have fun over there.
All right, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Some great stuff going on in the world.
A couple of things, you know, a couple of stories from the lighter side, as they like to say.
What do you got?
An animal was taken into custody on a U.S. Airways flight out of Connecticut today. It's an emotional support pig.
Emotional
support pig.
Didn't we just have the emotional support squirrel yesterday in a story?
Yep.
So now we got a pig.
I'd say bacon
flying.
Really does comfort you, though, at times of need.
This pig did. The passenger tied the pig up to an armrest, and then all of a sudden the emotional support pig became disruptive.
Oh.
Seen it 100 times.
You're not supposed to do that.
You bring a pig on a plane and things go haywire.
When pigs fly.
Who could have predicted that? Who would have seen that coming? A pig on a plane. becoming a disaster.
You don't have a sound effect for that, Rob?
I don't.
We have horses. We've got chimpanzees.
Everyone knows.
How big is the pig? Is it one of these?
It's a little pot belly one.
Yeah, like
just
the,
a little guy.
Like
oh, it's well, first of all, when you say little,
he's on his shoulder. He carries him into the plane on his shoulder.
Now the woman has a full tattoo on her back.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
And she's got. And I think it's of the pig itself. So I think it's kind of an interesting something else going on here.
Was he dragged down the aisles?
Did he go willingly?
Kicking and screaming?
Now, there was a passenger on the flight who's a University of Massachusetts Amherst professor who said, so he's got credibility, who said that, well, at first, the pig was in a duffel bag.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to freak a pig out, isn't
it? Yeah.
Right?
I would think so.
Seen it 100 times. You put a pig in a duffel bag,
right.
Things go wrong.
You're supposed to package the pig after it's been cooked, right? Not before? Isn't that the way that goes?
Wait, but this is a support therapy pig. You're not, I mean, he's not supposed to freak out. He's supposed to be well-trained.
Now, the guy said that it turns out that it wasn't a duffel bag we smelled. It was a pig on a leash. They thought it was a duffel bag, but it was actually a pig, and they tied the pig to the seat, and then all of a sudden the guy goes, what? That's a pig.
That actually sounds a lot like the first United passenger that was dragged off.
It kind of does. A lot of
similarities.
Yeah,
the doctor
there.
That was dragged, you're talking about?
Too soon. The pig is 70 pounds. 70 pounds.
Oh, no, that's
a big
bigger
pig.
Than
that
I thought.
That is not a little pig.
That's not a little pig. He looks kind of little and cute
Produce
when he's on
Christmas
his shoulder
ham
here.
With that little guy.
70-pound pig causing such a stir that the airline staff were forced to ask the passenger and her pet to leave. Emotional support pets are becoming more common sight on planes. Daniel the duck was recently spotted on a flight from Charlotte to Asheville.
Duck?
Yeah, support duck.
Oh, I kind of like a little baby duck.
Yeah, unless they're quacking and loud and everything else.
I bought a duck once in Serbia. I had to return it, though. They are loud.
You had it for dinner?
You brought it home for dinner? You bought a duck in Serbia?
Yeah, I bought it at the farmer's market.
To cook.
No, well,
it was
on
the rotisserie.
But
it was alive, but I did not cook it. I actually returned it.
Did your grandma give it a name?
Me return it. No, I didn't get that far. But I carried the whole thing back to my house in my hands, and it was just pecking at me the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
See, where Violetta's from.
They don't have support ducks?
They would what we would call a petting zoo, they call the grocery store.
To support the family with your support animal.
You're supposed to have sympathy for people who need the support animals, and I get it. There's legit reasons why, but
like a poodle, not a pig.
What if you're allergic, too, to all these animals?
The support dog.
Do we have sympathy
absolutely
for them?
Useful, but obviously there's a fine line here when people are like, "Yeah, that's my pig. I'm bringing it on the plane. It's for support."
Well, as the story, which I believe is on, it's on Metro.com, which is interesting because they were talking about the support pig, now the support duck. The support duck, by the way, wears a diaper, and it's got little red booties on.
Oh, sweet.
That's adorable.
Yep.
And we had a support squirrel. So we got a squirrel, a duck, and a pig. I didn't realize they were support animals of
these
types. There's
a great picture of the duck sitting in the window seat, staring out down on, like, other birds.
He gets his own seat?
Quack, quack. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's kind of a big duck,
too. Set the duck free.
He's a...
That's him.
Do they pay for the seat?
Oh, hey. Come on.
Oh, no.
That was the pig in the aisle.
Do they take the pig to the bathroom?
I think that was the duck. I think we got the duck. Yeah. What's the duck? Let me hear that duck again one more time. Is that what that is?
You'll never eat bacon again if you hear it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a tough duck.
First you shoot it, and then you punch it. Wow.
All right, so...
That person's going to need another support animal, and you really just messed that person up even more.
All right, I want to ask you one other question.
Yeah.
Oh, no, now there's a flying turkey. Hold on.
A support turkey?
An emotional support turkey.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
My gosh.
Don't tell the turkey it's Thanksgiving. Actually, this is a great dodge from the turkey, right? The turkey is like, hey, listen, I'm bad eating. You know what I'm good at, though?
I am really good.
If you like, are you anxious? I could help you with that.
Great with emotional support.
Yes. Yep. Are you? Oh, you look sad.
Are you scared of flying? Bring me with.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know this existed.
Well, the story ended with, welcome to 2017, where basically anything goes.
We should get a support animal for the show.
Yeah, we
like
have
if
one.
We're having, well, Knarble, but it's just
yeah,
a fish.
Yeah, you can't interact with a
but
fish.
But he's very relaxing.
Like if we're all down and it's
well,
middle.
No, wait, hold on.
Don't worry. That fish, we've actually, that fish, because we're so bad at taking care of it, the water runs out in the bowl. We have actually now seen a transspecial thing occur where this is a fish that can now breathe air.
This thing's a monster. This thing is never dying.
That happened once. There was a crack in the bowl and I wasn't aware of it, so the water was disappearing very quickly.
Violetta does take pretty good care of this.
Yeah, she does. Now he lives in a vase.
I've never seen a fish like this live as long as it has.
No, I haven't either.
Coming up on 2 years here.
He's a tough cookie.
Absolutely remarkable. It was Christmas. Yeah, Christmas 2 years ago.
Look at that.
So well done, Violetta.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
My support animal.
Yeah. Judy's alone at the tower. Who knows what she's going to do now to that fish.
Put some Tabasco sauce in the water.
I think we need a support goat or something fun. You know, wouldn't a goat be fun?
Yeah, those little baby goats, the way they jump around on everything.
Yeah.
I like the little toy ponies, like the mini horses.
Now, see, they actually make those into support animals.
Yeah, those are great.
But you know what those things do? Here's the one thing. Like a dog. A dog, you can say to a dog, hey, you're in the plane, you can't go to the bathroom, and the dog goes, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like the duck, they put a diaper on the duck.
Sure, that's responsible.
The support pony has got no, they just don't care. They just walk and...
Right. Can you imagine the stench on
like
that plane?
The police horses that are walking.
Yeah,
right. They just don't care. No, they don't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Think about being on an airplane with these quote-unquote support animals. You're going to get even more anxious the other guests on that plane.
That's right.
And passengers.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I don't want to see a pig or a duck or a squirrel next to me.
Well, then bring your own support animal, and then you won't have any problems.
Everyone.
Or a goat, whatever that is.
Did you, you know, on the other side, we're going to talk about another story where it's unfortunate. A mascot name has gone quite controversial.
Uh-huh. I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yes.
A long-standing one?
No.
No.
No, it's a new one. It's a new idea.
Okay.
One man is very upset that it's going to make people think not of a mascot, but of a sexual organ. We will explain what this story is all about. Live broadcast, United Center before the Chicago Blackhawks take on the Rangers tonight, brought to you by Citgo. Citgo's fueling good. All right. Oh, man.
You need a support animal, or are you doing okay?
Let me try something past you right here. Let me try this right here. One man in Utah started a petition to change the mascot of a new high school that has just been built and opening up in Farmington. Farmington High School.
Okay.
Because they want to be the Farmington, the mascot is the Phoenix. Hmm. Right? Because it's like new and it's
reborn.
Reborn and all of that. Isn't that great?
I like that.
Well, it turns out that the mascot name for the teams are going to be the Farmington Phoenixes.
The what?
The what?
Say that very carefully.
The Farmington Phoenixes.
Oh.
The Phoenixes?
According to the petition, the resident, Kyle Froughton, is concerned that when supporters yell, "Go Phoenixes," at the events, it's going to sound more like they're,
Wait, like what?
They're going to, I don't mean to be crass, but I don't want there to be confusion around the point I'm trying to make, that it is far too close to the word for the male genitalia.
Phoenix.
Oh,
Phoenix.
Go Phoenixes.
Go Phoenix.
Fear the Phoenix.
Fear the Phoenix.
Oh, gosh. There's just too much there.
I mean, in today's day and age, that is a good thing to fear.
That's exactly. Well,
yeah,
right.
You better fear that.
It's a good lesson to learn in college.
Exactly.
Yes, at not a young age.
Not a good thing to be chanting up and down the streets.
With the scenario playing out, there will be a never-ending barrage of references to the male anatomy directed at our children, and we just can't have that. Especially in an effort to be funny and get under our player's skin, opposing student bodies will most certainly chant things like "Go Phoenixes."
I'd like to see the mascot because you know
the Phoenixes have gone. I'm not even going to go there. Never mind.
Like, well, the Phoenix is red, is it not?
I don't. I'd love to see.
Only
this.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's just wrong. Well, let's
just leave it right there.
Wrong.
All right. We've got Judy Pollack standing by with the WGN News coming away in 2 minutes. It's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Kevin
and we're at the United Center.
Violetta Powder Medic is here.
Present.
That's correct. Now I've taken all of the...
How many points do I get for that?
Eat it. Is that right? Total millennial. I'm here. What do I get?
What does that count for?
Yeah. When do I...
Well, are there trophies given out at this point?
Well, she gets something. What do I get?
Well, you didn't say presents. So
no,
you
no,
lose.
Kids.
I'm here.
All it's
right.
Busy.
This is all brought to you. Thank you. Brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good.
Okay.
And we've got a top 5 at 5 coming your way. Eddie Olczyk is going to join us right down here in our broadcast position coming your way at 5:40. Mm-hmm. The great Eddie Olczyk, who has always been a fan favorite of Chicagoans when he was a player, and then he was a coach and won the Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I will never forgive him for that. And now one of the great broadcasters. He is here tonight. This is a big NBC Sports Network game. Mm-hmm. It's Rivalry Wednesday as an original six matchup here, the Hawks and the Rangers at the United Center. And Eddie Olczyk is in the booth.
How nice to see him back.
For the second time this season.
The Hawks had a beautiful
I
want
to say it might be third or fourth, to be honest. But he'll be in there with Doc, and it's hard to argue against the fact that that's probably the best sports duo. I mean, in all of sports.
Broadcasting duo.
I mean, they're the best. I absolutely love listening to Eddie and Doc, and I can't wait to see Eddie.
It'll be nice to see him. They did a nice tribute to him here at one of those games that he, just to remind everyone of how special he is, and had Blackhawks fans in tears and on their feet to just see him.
As soon as you get a clip of him on the TV, everyone's up on their feet cheering him on.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
A really great story. So he'll be joining us coming up here at 5:40. All right. In the meantime, it is, you know what we need to do here?
Mm-hmm. It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4. 3.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That's the Rokan Show, top 5 at 5. You cannot miss this.
Nope.
Here we go. Checking in at
number 5.
Well, Roy Moore's attorney took to the microphones today. This is a guy named Philip Jarenghi. Mm-hmm. And he says, listen, you know this this yearbook? You see this yearbook thing everybody's talking about? You see this yearbook thing everybody's talking about?
The signature.
You know this yearbook? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't believe what you see when you see the signature.
Not a copy on the internet. The actual document, so that we can see the lettering. We can see the ink on the page. We can see the indentations. And we can see how old is that ink. Is it 40 years old? Or is it a week old? Release the yearbook so that we can determine, is it genuine or is it a fraud?
It's really interesting. I told you.
It is.
I think that the judge is a creep job. But the woman who came forward during the press conference on Monday with Gloria Allred did not seem credible to me for a couple of different reasons. And one of the reasons is she says she had this yearbook. How do you get, if you know, you went on a couple of dates with the, as she says, that she was, well, actually, she claims that he was going to drive her home. They had been flirting for a while she was working at this diner. And then she got into his car, and then he drove around to where the dumpsters are back at the diner that she's working at, and then molested her, right? Mm-hmm. So that's her claim. But then that was when she was 16, and then in her yearbook, which would have been later that year or the next year, he signs the yearbook. I didn't understand that part. And now the question is, was the yearbook actually signed by him? She went through a divorce in the 1990s, and he was the judge.
Yeah, and I guess that didn't add up, according to his attorneys, because she had made a point during that Gloria Allred news conference, never had contact with him after that point. Well, sure enough, her divorce case was in front of him, and surely he would have remembered that is what his Moore's attorneys are alleging.
Sure. If she remembers all the rest of that, she should remember
would
that,
think,
right?
You'd think so. And then did you see the signature? The Roy is in the different ink than the Moore, and there's something going on there. There is something going on. Doesn't mean that it wasn't him, but why? Was there an amendment to it? Did something happen? I don't know. Does it erase everything he's been accused of? I don't think yet. But there certainly are some inconsistencies.
I just want to know if the 24 hours with Sean Hannity is up yet. That's all I want to know.
Do you still have your Keurig?
Right. Although he did tell people to stop smashing their Keurigs. Thank God.
Okay. Good. There's some sanity in the world.
I will let you know when it hits the Nespresso. Then
not touching that.
I'm not. First of all, Nespresso is expensive.
Yeah.
And it's really good. My Nespresso maker is my best friend.
What would it take to smash it, Ro? What do you think?
Oh. It would nothing.
No.
I wouldn't accept there would be nothing.
I know. I have a
would allow me to hurt my Nespresso.
To my coffee maker, too. I love them.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
Group of House Democrats have introduced new articles of impeachment against the president. Oh, this is going to help. In a news conference in Washington, Steve Cohen of Tennessee said impeachment will energize Democrats more than Republicans ahead of next year's midterms.
The Democratic base needs to know there are members of Congress who are willing to stand up against this president and bring impeachment charges and continue to bring light to illegal conduct that's taking place and threatening our country.
He couldn't even get through his own sentence.
Did Gloria Allred produce this whole thing of event?
He doesn't believe his
manufactured.
Right. He doesn't believe his own. The Democrats are really going to be behind me when we do this, right, guys?
Yeah. Congressman Gutierrez was part of that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got to have articles. No. Here is Congressman Gutierrez. Says the president's already broken the law and should be held accountable.
I see a crime. And I have a responsibility to dial 911 immediately.
Well,
I don't call and try to reach consensus with all my neighbors.
Mm-mm. Well, because the Democrats
crime?
Are not all on board.
Yeah. I mean,
some are just saying, hey, come on, stop. This isn't.
Yeah, this is not. This is not going to help. Trust me, Republicans want to impeach him more than the Democrats do. Wait for them to do it. It'll have a little more credibility. All right. Here we are, Top 5-5 continues. Eddie Olchek is going to join us down in our broadcast position here
at
the Goose Island Pub coming your way at 5:40. Stay tuned for that.
Yes, will be great to see Eddie O.
Number three.
All right. Now, the UCLA basketball players who are arrested in China for shoplifting, Cody Riley, Jalen Hill, and LiAngelo Ball arrived in Los Angeles last night on an aeroplane and had to explain exactly what it was that they did. Now, the president had said, quote, do you think that the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you, President Trump? They were headed for 10 years in jail.
Begging for a thank you there. He got it. He got the thank you.
I'd like to thank Chris Carlson and Doug Erickson for staying with us and just helping us out while we were in China and taking care of us. I'm grateful for this UCLA team that stood strong beside us and made it possible for me to be sitting here in front of you all today. I respect and admire all the hard work that they put in to get us back to the United States. I'd also like to thank President Trump and the United States government for the help that they provided as well.
There you have it, all three of them thanking the prez.
Nothing like holding 10 years over someone's head.
Suspended indefinitely.
From basketball.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
From the program at UCLA?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All three of them.
Oh, I think they should all three get thrown out of the program at UCLA.
Well, I think they should, too. I don't think they will because it all comes down to winning and blah, blah, blah. That's the state of college basketball. A sorry state, but I don't think they're going to get kicked off the team.
Has the elder Ball weighed in on the
I still haven't seen
the very
big
outspoken
ball from
big ball?
Old
big
ball.
Baller? Old baller?
No, I haven't seen anything from LeVar yet. But I'm sure at some point he's probably planning some big promotional thing about it.
He wants to make sure LiAngelo is back in the house and he knows where LiAngelo is before he says something about it.
Probably.
How is this going to affect his balls? The other balls.
Well, you got Lonzo in L.A. Mm-hmm. on the Lakers.
Right. Will Lonzo be affected in any way, do you think?
I don't think so.
The other two balls are not going to be affected?
No, I think the other two balls should be okay.
Lonzo and LaMelo?
I'm trying to think of which one's the lefty.
It's always the bigger one. Which is the bigger one?
I think Lonzo's the lefty. Yeah.
And then you got old Alonzo Ball.
Yeah. All right. Good luck to the balls. Pray for the balls.
Right.
Fear the balls.
Checking in at
number two.
R. Kelly. Oh, God. What,
oh, no.
What a bad follow-up.
Gee, it's never a good story.
This is just like what happened. This uh-huh. is what. How am I supposed to go from Alonzo Ball to R. Kelly?
I think it's a perfect segue.
Yeah, it fits in.
Get Don on the phone.
Yeah, get your agent on that one.
R. Kelly has been caught on camera making fun of an autistic fan outside a nightclub in L.A. This is a clip by TMZ. The rapper bullied the man into singing one of his songs. Lenny Felix was out in Hollywood when he spotted the singer, and the 27-year-old was completely starstruck. R. Kelly encouraged the fan to sing, "I Believe I Can Fly." Now, Felix's family says that they want to sue over the video, but R. Kelly then went on to his website to make an apology.
I was coming from a club the other night, and I was tipsy. Didn't seem like he had autism to me at all, and I apologized to him if he did, but he was pure drunk to me, and he was singing my songs. The point is everybody, everything I do is just, I can't do anything without people saying something negative about me. You know, it's just too much, guys. You know, let me do my work. I love my fans. I thank y'all for supporting Kels. Continue to if you want to. To all of the haters, I love you because you inspire me.
Yeah. The chickens are coming home to roost, it seems like. His former girlfriend is alleging abuse and is suing him now. It's just, there are a lot of allegations.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, let's face it here. Let's face it. He's no matter what I do, you know, you know.
What you do is the problem.
You tinkle on one teenager, and then the rest of the time, that's all they can remember.
Yeah.
All right. And finally.
Number one.
All right. Each year, People Magazine puts on an exhaustive search to find the sexiest man alive.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they didn't look real far, I don't think.
Is it you, Ro? People not happy with this one.
I'm happy with it, and mm-hmm. I'll explain exactly why in just a second. But Blake Shelton has been named People's Sexiest Man Alive.
I was robbed.
I got to say, as a doughy white guy with graying hair, mm-hmm. I couldn't be happier with this selection.
This is a good pick?
Yes, I think so. And they say he's sexy because he's witty.
Wow, we have run out of celebrities with both eyes and things like that. We're just down to somebody who is somewhat symmetrical. That must be all you had left to look for. As proud as I am and honored that you guys asked me, that's really the only thing I care about. I'm owning this moment. I've been ugly my whole life. If I can be sexy for a year, taking it.
See, that's kind of sweet.
See,
isn't it?
That makes him
self-deprecating,
sexy, right?
And he's got great dimples.
There you go.
Whatever, Blake Shelton.
He's no Tom Brady.
You're a hater. Kevin, why are you such a hater?
I was robbed. I put my name in for submission, and I was robbed. I never heard back.
You got time, Kev.
Yeah, you got
There's
time.
There's always next year.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. If Mike Ditka were voting, you would be the sexiest man.
He loves
alive.
You. Yeah. Like,
muscle
Kevin.
Man.
Is that
no
what he
problems.
Called you, Muscle Man?
Yeah, he called me Muscle Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yep. Coach Ditka, he was the Super Bowl
Bears. Yeah, played a little football.
Yeah.
Yeah, middle school.
That's right. Yep.
Submit that next year. With
I will. I'll put that on my resume.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was the most awkward top 5 at 5 ever. I just want to just point at that out.
Segways and all.
Yes.
Balls. Yeah. Shelton.
Yeah, this was weird. All right. Well, hold on. We have a legend who's going to be joining us right here at our broadcast position in the United Center, right outside the Goose Island Pub. Eddie Olczyk, the great one, is going to be with the other great one. Mm-hmm. There's the great one, and there's the other great one, and Eddie Olczyk is my great one. And he'll be joining us coming up in just a few minutes. Stay right here. But first, Judy Pilex News, 2 minutes away. He was one of my personal heroes to begin with, and he's forever now. He's installed.
When you were growing up, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, when I was growing up, even though I'm older.
You're, you're older,
I don't know how that worked out. Yeah. But, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch Eddie skate when he was 5.
Yeah.
Eddie Olczyk is with us, and we're so glad to see you out here at the
Hi,
United
Ro.
Center.
Hi,
good to see you, Eddie.
Good to see you, everybody. Thanks for having me.
You and Doc are you're working tonight.
National game. Yep.
The fifth is your fifth game that you've done while you're undergoing chemotherapy for colon cancer, and you, when we talked to you a couple of weeks ago, and I know people have seen you on some other news events here, talking about this. You're timing these games around when you're feeling well in the chemo cycle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I go every 2 weeks, and my chemo weeks are pretty rough, so I'm not working any of those days, 6-7 days out. I did work on Sunday. My great partner, the great Pat Foley, carried me the other night. I was not feeling good Sunday night. Live and learn. I probably shouldn't have worked Sunday because I just didn't feel good, but I did. But I just learning now that my first 6-7 days of treatment, that just I need to rest.
Yeah.
And if I feel good, I'll work. If I don't, again, the open canvas I have with the Blackhawks, with Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough, Jay Blanc, they've just said, look, if you feel good, the chair is there, whether it's an hour before or 100 hours before.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to do the national game tonight, and I'm very thankful. And same with NBC. My boss, Sam Flood, has said the same thing with the open canvas. So I think it's good for the soul. It's been one of the best medicines I've had over the course of the last 3 months, is to be able to come out to the United Center, do some games. I'll tip my hand here. I am going to do the Blackhawk game in Tampa Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to travel with the team. I'm going to get out on the road. Uh-huh. And I'll do Thanksgiving Eve in Tampa, which will be a great game. And then I'll get a chance to come home and rest up and have Thanksgiving at home for the first time in a long time. So
big hockey. That's a big hockey weekend, actually. Yeah. I know that Boston, there's a big game on Thanksgiving. NHL is really all on top of this. I just want to say that the Breeders' Cup was not the same without you.
Oh, thanks.
Although they were talking about your picks, and I was trying to follow as well as I possibly could. I came very close. You know, as Anna knows, I was even on the Friday Day on Express Bet, our dear friends at Express Bet. Yeah. I was making a few wagers on the Friday.
Right. A few deposits. Yeah.
It was a little distracting during the broadcast. Yeah. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of things to watch.
But then Saturday, I was in my full level of degeneration on Saturday. Yeah. It was really something.
Great weekend.
Oh, my.
Great
it was weekend. A great. There was some amazing racing. Yeah. But they'll be back there next.
They're going to Churchill Downs next year. They'll be at Churchill next year. Then they'll go to Santa Anita out in California.
Which is a beautiful
place
to see.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I missed being a part of it. I did make a cameo on the big show on NBC on that Saturday night.
Bob Costas,
I did
right?
a two-way. I did a two-way with Bob, and he asked me for my picks, and I said 5-11, and it came in 5-11.
See,
so,
you were the best. The only one I've ever made. I've made money off of his picks. I do terrible at the racetrack, except for when Eddie gives me some advice.
As you know, Anna, every squirrel finds a nut every once in a
no,
while.
No, you're on it,
and,
man.
It was great to be a part of the show, because I certainly missed it, and but it was fun. So I'm glad hopefully some people listened and made some money.
That's great.
I got one of those things. Is I'm online and I'm trying to make the bet at the last minute, and there was a race sort of in the middle of the card, and this Stormy Liberal horse. Yep.
And I liked him. I used him.
And
30-1.
I thought it was 30-1. Yeah. I was taking out long shots. I did not take my. I'm going to get in, and boom! Right as I hit enter, it goes race started, because the race is about 10 seconds earlier.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the delay.
Than what you see on television.
So you missed it.
And then the thing comes in and wins, and I'm like, oh my god!
Anna, tell him. Get your wagers
get
in
it in.
Early.
Come on. Right? It's easy.
Yeah. I just wait. Yeah. You know, it's
and
me.
Listen I'm to Eddie.
Live,
he
yeah,
knows.
Right. Yeah. Live and learn, bro.
I don't know how many times I've been squinched at the box. All right. Let's talk about tonight's matchup here against a very hot New York Rangers team.
Yeah, one of the hottest teams in the league. Their power play is, they're clicking at 45% right now the last 6-7 games.
Wow.
Lundqvist has found his game. This is the team that was on they were really struggling. But they found their game now, and they're a confident team. They play really well here. Elaine Vigneault is a former coach of the Vancouver Canucks that has great success with the Canucks playing against the Blackhawks, and when they've come into the United Center. You know, for the Blackhawks, this is a big game. This is after losing the way they did the other night against the Devils, and then they go on the road for a couple of games coming up. They're going to Pittsburgh. Well, let's not forget the last time the Blackhawks played the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was opening night here.
Yes.
And the Hawks put up
10-1. Is this
they put crazy. Up a touchdown and a field goal.
the score was crazy.
And if the skate was on the other foot, this would be a game that would be highlighted by the team that gave up 10 goals.
Yeah.
So this is a big game for the Blackhawks, because they're going to go into a den on Saturday night, or an igloo, I guess, because they're playing the Penguins. It's going to be a tough game. Then they go down to Tampa and Florida for Thanksgiving weekend or whatever. And Tampa, you could argue, is the best team in the NHL. So this is a big game. I think for the Blackhawks, Rowan Anna, and I talked about this the other night on the broadcast against the Devils, is I think a lot of it starts in their own zone. They got to get out of their zone. They got to exit it quickly. They got to skate themselves out of trouble and get the puck up to the forwards and play with the puck offensively. Because what's happening is they're doing a lot of defending right now. And when you're chasing, you get tired. And when you get tired, you make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, you either end up in the penalty box or the puck ends up in your net. So this is a team that needs to find the way to defend first. So the mindset has to be, you know what? Let's try to win the game 2-1 tonight. Let's try to win a low-scoring game. Let's get our defense in order. And then our offense will take care of itself. But the Rangers are playing extremely well, and you got to stay out of the box because their power play is clicking at an incredible number right now.
So you're getting some scoring support on Sunday night, and then Corey Crawford gives it up.
Yeah.
And Corey Crawford has had, he's got a .932 save average this year. Very, very, it's very strong. But yet, you know, you're not having both phases of the game. I guess this is to your point. You're not having both the phases of the game come together.
Well, let's make it perfectly clear. Corey Crawford has been a top two goaltender in the National Hockey League this year. This last game, yeah, not good.
No.
But I think we will all take one bad game every 16 or 17 that Corey Crawford plays.
Right.
The only reason the Blackhawks are .500 right now is because of Corey Crawford. And give Forsberg a little love, too, because he's had a couple of games. Forget what game. The game in Toronto, I think they got a point in overtime, and he played really well. The goaltending is not the issue. Absolutely, positively, 1,000% from where I sit. And I've been watching a lot of games, obviously, because I'm not working a lot. Is that Corey Crawford has been as elite as he's been, consistent as he's been. And look, he's going to have some tough nights. He's going to go sideways for a period of time. It happens. It happens with football teams, basketball teams. It happens with quarterbacks. It happens with star players. You're going to go sideways for a period of time. But for the Blackhawks, the goaltending is the least of their issues. So I think, Roe, yes, getting their defense with their offense, getting their offense with their defense, and having a mindset is that this is the way we have to play.
This is not a .500 team, though. I mean, you've got such talent on the
well,
ice.
Well, it isn't, but they're lucky to be .500 right now.
Yeah.
Now, that's just my opinion from watching.
Mm-hmm.
They could easily be two or three games under .500 with how they've played. And, again, talk about goalie wins.
Yeah.
You need goalies. Like, the goalies... They make or break a season.
Yes,
they make or break championships.
I seem to recall a few.
Right? So, like, for me, .500, I think is.
Yeah.
I think I'm happy with that. That is .500 because I could see it. I could see it easily being the other way, and all of a sudden you're 6 or 7 points out of the playoffs instead of being 2 or 3.
What is your thought on them not the NHL players not playing in the Olympics this year?
I mean, I'm the wrong guy to ask because I played it as an amateur. I played in 84 as an amateur.
Right.
I've worked the Olympics for NBC. You like to see the best players available to every country. But it's a business decision, flat out. You know, is it good for business to shut down the National Hockey League for 2.5 or 3 weeks, have your players go over there, you expose them to injury? But look, injuries can happen. Guys shoveling snow or guys, you know, whatever. It happens. I think it's great for the game, but I can understand from the NHL and the owner side of, I mean, what would, again, it's how you look at it, but, you know, what would happen if a player goes over there and all of a sudden a player can't play for the next 8 or 10 months?
Right.
You're sitting there going, the Olympics are this. Right. So there's good and bad. I've always been a believer is that the Olympics are for amateur players, even though we always known that the Eastern Bloc countries and people were getting paid for playing the Olympics.
Sure.
I understand that. I want to see the best athletes. The best hockey players are in the National Hockey League. This time around, we're not going to have them. So it's going to open up an opportunity for some for some young kids to, maybe get an opportunity.
Sure.
Hey, somebody might get a commercial out of it. Somebody might get a car deal. I'm all for
Michael
it.
Mike Ruzioni.
Yeah, look, hey, like I said, I played as an amateur.
Yeah.
So I'm a little soft as it is. I'm a little soft for the little guy to get that opportunity on the biggest stage to represent your country in a sporting world.
When you talk about the expectations for this season, and we didn't think potentially they'd be at the .500 point at this point, where there's so many high expectations.
I never saw this coming, but the way that they played is what I'm kind of more getting at, is that they should be .500.
Right.
What about the captain, Jonathan Toews, versus expectations versus how he's playing at this particular point in the season?
I think the consistency is what is being looked for, not only with Jonathan, but I think for a lot of other guys. Got to find that game. Got to find that consistency. Got to get on a score sheet. You know he's going to play the 200-foot game. You know what he's going to give you every night. But I think offensively is that, you know, he needs to be an igniter offensively and finding that consistency where he goes on a roll and gets maybe 7 or 8 points in 5 games. Haven't seen that yet. You've seen some games where I remember watching a game against Nashville here. Like, I thought that was one of the best games Johnny's played in a long time. That's what they need more consistently. Take some of the pressure off of the line that Patrick Kane's on, or, you know, Nick Schmaltz, I think, has performed well here the last couple of games. But Johnny's an important part on it. Like, he really is. offensively even more so than I think in the past, because this team is having a tough time generating consistent offense. Yeah. And when you play 20 minutes a night, and the fact is when you're making 10 and a half schmil a year.
Yeah, I know.
All right? I mean, look, I know. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Look at three cups, everything. We know that.
Yeah.
But it's right now.
Right.
And he's got to find that game. So I think he is on the verge of having one of those stretches. Mm-hmm. But we're, 18 games in, whatever the number is.
Like, you want to see
the urgency's got to be there. And you've seen that word thrown around a lot lately over the course of the last 10 or 12 days. It's got to come from everybody, and it starts with the leadership of this team.
Listen, tonight's game, this is where it all starts tonight. Because, again, as you pointed out, very, very tough game ahead of them. You got a red-hot New York Rangers team coming in. Then you're on the road for two very, very tough ones.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go into Christmas and
you don't want to chase, Ro.
No.
You don't want to be – like, and the Hawks haven't been in a spot. I mean, you break down coach speak, and everybody's doing that with Foxy, with John Fox, and with Coach Q speaks. I mean, everybody's – you know, you try to dissect what they're talking about. Is like, look, this is foreign territory. So how do we react?
Right.
And the urgency word is thrown around and say, look, like for me, the mindset would be, look, we're going to try to win this game 2-1 tonight. It may end up 5-4, but the mindset going in needs to be 2-1. Not that we're going to sit here and try to outscore the Rangers or outscore Tampa or go into Pittsburgh on Saturday and play. I think it's baby steps. And the only way you do that is by, when this team has had success, three championships, by the way, in the last, seven or eight years?
Let's see. Let me think about that.
Right?
Yes.
Three cups. Think about that.
Yes.
You know the stars are there. The goaltending has been there. But I don't think the one thing that has been allotted enough is how well they've been defensively over the years. I'm talking defensemen. I'm talking the way that they defend as a team. And, yeah, there have been a lot of changes, no question about it. But if they're going to get out of this and get back to where everybody expects them and Blackhawk fans expect them to get to, it's got to start in front of Corey Crawford or Anton Forsberg.
Right, exactly. And you know, the Saad move, I think, was brilliant in a lot of ways. I think once they get that gel together, and we talked about this last season so much about that number of young kids who are on, and you need them to have Schmaltz, for example. You need to have those guys come in, Hartman, and start to gel with the rest of the team. And really, I mean, I always look at January 1st in that outdoor game as kind of the moment where the NHL, it's got to be super serious for these guys. It always has to be. Yeah. You got to play all 82 games. But in the meantime, that's where it really makes the turn.
Yeah, it's not that far away. The trade deadline's not that far, and you can't.
Right.
Can you make the playoffs the first 20 games of the regular season? No. Mm-hmm. I believe you can miss the playoffs the first 20 games of the regular season. That's not going to happen right now.
Right.
And the Hawks are right there in the playoff spot. But so you need to get on a roll here. You need to find a way to win 6 or 7, get points in 8 of 10 games, and give yourself a little separation. Because this team's always had the ability to do that. Now, can they do it now? The floor is theirs. The ice is theirs.
Yep. Eddie Olczyk, so great to see you.
I got to go put my face on.
All right. We will see. Great Eddie Olczyk right here.
Good to see you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, by the way.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck with your treatments.
Guess what? We are live from the United Center as we get ready for the Blackhawks and the Rangers, all brought to you by GEICO. Visit McGeico.com or 800-947-AUTO. And let me just tell you something. Mm-hmm. Coming up on the other side, Chris Bowden is going to join us. You just heard him right there.
Yep.
He's our pregame guy. And he's going to play Blackhawks Pick'em.
Oh, my gosh. Does he know what he's in for?
So he gets to run down here from the booth and then sprint back up immediately following the game.
Correct.
And play the greatest, fastest-growing, best-loved game in all of radio.
Yeah, not. It turns out. Not in any way, shape, or form. That's what's going to happen coming up right after Judy's News. Actually, it's Rob Mortier, I think, doing the news at 6 o'clock right here on 720 WGN in 2 minutes. Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks. Here we are at the United Center, brought to you by the GEICO. GEICO.com or 800-947-AUTO. Hawks taking on the Rangers coming up. Our pregame starts in about 20 minutes, and Chris Bowden is with us right now down here in the concourse, and one would stop and wonder, now what the hell is Chris Bowden doing down here in the concourse when he's got to be up in the booth in 20 minutes?
Don't you have to be somewhere?
What are you doing right there?
There we go. What I have to talk to Jeff Carlin, your producer, about. Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about having to follow Eddie Olczyk down here.
That's not easy.
If you ask me Hawks questions, I'll just whatever Eddie said. We'll just go with that.
You should be more scared for this game we're about to play.
Wow.
Is this a Rangers
Violetta.
Fan over here?
Oh, wow.
We're not scared. Yeah. Why? No, because it's a complicated game.
Complicated? How?
Well, he's been told he's not actually going to be playing the Blackhawks pick-up.
Oh, sorry.
Are you talking about this game, not the one that starts at 7 o'clock?
I thought you were talking about it, too.
Yeah, not the Hawks game, Violetta. She's talking about this game, which is a
Blackhawks
pick-up.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I thought she was auditioning to take over for Troy, too. Breaking things down.
That would be fun. That would be, one of those things where you just say, or she sits in for Troy, Troy sits in for her one day. It'd be kind of good. Troy kind of mispronouncing names of the streets and her not understanding anything.
Traffic is key in hockey, too.
You know? Fast-moving traffic. For me, it's slow-moving.
There are parallels.
I'd actually like to see. She mispronounces more streets than Troy would, but Troy speaks Canadian, so it's like a different sort of situation.
Right, eh?
Sorry?
Right.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear him say Gothy.
Yes. All right, so let's just talk about this Hawks team now. Eddie was just telling us, this is a big stretch coming up here. What are we most concerned about, Chris Bowden?
You're most concerned tonight about a team that's won 6 in a row. No other team has had that long a winning streak in the NHL so far. The thing that they can draw on, though, is this Rangers team stunk for about the first 3 weeks of the season. There was talk of their coach getting fired, and all of a sudden, they were able to get things together. We'll play a little soundbite in our pregame show from the handsomest goalie in hockey, with all due respect to Corey Crawford, Henrik Lundqvist, the guy for the Rangers. But he had interesting little soundbite yesterday after practice about, how they just started taking care of some of the little things. And as a result of that, and that's what we've been hearing from Joel all season long.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting it together consistently. Now, until they prove they can, everyone's going to be questioning about them. And, you got the defending champs who probably remember 10-1 on opening night coming up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then you go play the hottest team of all in the NHL since the start of the season in Tampa on Thanksgiving Eve. So sitting around a lot, too. Not getting those 2 points on Sunday after having a 4-1 lead.
That
hurts. And the fact that you're only playing 3 games in 12 days now, while other teams are going to be a lot more busy, it's going to add to the stress levels a little bit, I think.
All right.
Whatever.
This game won't add to the stress levels at all that we're about to play. It's super easy to play, Chris. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it.
Now, it's great. Are we going to have Chris choose stuff here? Do we have a...
I'll do leftovers.
Jeff was like, no.
No.
I'll do leftovers.
We don't subject him to that?
Apparently we're not. Now, we were going to have him play for Judy, but on the other side, we'll do that.
I'm just afraid of Violetta.
She's
running away with this thing from a staff standpoint, right?
Now, Chris, I just want to share one thing with you, a little inside baseball about the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. Mm-hmm. Now Violetta has had a lifelong dream of becoming an ice girl. Lifelong dream. And ever since she was old enough to turn on crawl over to the television, turn it on, and see the ice girls cleaning the ice in between during the timeouts, she has wanted this. And so when she joined the show, the only reason she's on the show is because she thought she could get closer to the ice girls in the Hawks organization.
Yes.
And so we introduced her last season to them.
It didn't go well.
And it didn't.
Can she skate?
They mean girl.
Yes. She can skate.
Look at her. Doesn't she look like she grew up on skates?
I totally thought that I'd mesh with them, fit in, but
how'd it go today? I saw you talking.
We went over there, and this is actually part of the younger crew, so they were a little more accepting, but they didn't realize really why I was there to stalk them.
Steal their job.
Yeah. No, not steal them. I just want to be an ice girl for a day. Is that too much to ask? So anyway, just chit-chat a little bit, figured out what positions they were on the ice.
The ice girls have positions.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. It turns out, actually, that they alternate. There's three different girls that go down the middle. Then there's two girls that take care of the nets.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Apparently that's the easiest job, but it looked like the hardest to me.
Uh-huh.
Then there's a girl that pushes
the ice holder. Oh, right.
I don't know what they call that, the technical term, because I haven't studied this stuff yet.
You would think as a big fan you would have known all of these things, but okay, go ahead.
The playbook.
Right.
Yeah. I think she can handle it. I think she'd do a great job.
Well,
it was interesting to watch, because she went up there and she went down the line with them, and she was like, shaking their hands. And I'm like, what is she doing there at that moment?
Well, I found this out the hard way, because as soon as I'm walking in, I'm right in her line of sight, and she's waving, and I think she's waving at me. But little did I know, the ice girls were right behind me, and it had nothing to do
with it. Well, both of you ignored me, so that was nice.
I just ducked and got out of the way. So
Chris wouldn't have ignored me on purpose.
If you could, hurt. But
I know you're new with the team and everything, but if you could just help us out here, getting her on the ice.
Can you make that happen, Chris?
We'll have the Zamboni.
Chris, just go, no. No, I think it's easier.
Chris
we
is
just,
like,
No.
At least throw a maybe. Throw a maybe.
Yeah. Not even a chance, really. Let's just stop and think about it.
Would you be okay with a ride on the Zamboni? That's not good enough, though.
Yeah, that's my second lifelong dream.
All right.
Why do you think I'm here tonight?
Judy was on the Zamboni, and I warned her about this.
She didn't make the cut.
She didn't
remember?
Get on.
Oh, that's right.
It was her birthday, and it didn't happen.
Right,
because
she was there too late. And don't you know who I am?
So many tales of heartbreak here.
Yeah. Big problems on the show, Chris. We have a lot of problems.
You think with our relationship with the Blackhawks, but
it's really deteriorated greatly since we've started.
And since you got a new pre- and post-game host, too.
Yeah, the whole thing's falling apart here.
Yeah, it's your fault the Blackhawks are slumping a little bit.
I know. They're going to bring back Judd at $500,000 a year, and it'll be irresistible. And then, boom, the team will take off.
All right, well, get up there and call a good pregame.
All right.
And we're going to keep you from having to worry about this Blackhawks pregame.
I'll be
pre-game.
Listening closely.
Yeah. All right, so here's the idea, is everybody gets to pick three players, and whoever scores the most points wins. Now, on the season totals, this is a shocker. Violetta is in the lead on the season.
Isn't that amazing?
She's the one that's got us all beat here.
You know, I really don't think it's that shocking.
No,
but
it is.
No.
It kind of is.
Okay.
No, it truly is. All right. Oh, by the way, this broadcast from the United Center before the Blackhawks take on the Rangers, brought to you by Sitco. Sitco is fueling good. All right. Here we go. All right. Here we go. The caller, which we've already solicited the caller, the caller is taking Patrick Kane.
Yep, heard of him.
Jonathan Toews. Mm-hmm. And
Captain.
Ryan Hartman.
All right.
Ryan Hartman. Interesting.
Kay.
Interesting.
Good pick. Solid.
Now, Anna, you're next.
I'm picking DeBrincat and the Sod. And I'm also picking Anisimov.
Oh,
all right.
A,
solid.
Yeah. Did there.
You
lots
like
of A's are wild. If this were, if you picked an A on a, like on Wheel of Fortune, you'd have done very well on those.
Yep.
Yeah. That's, you'd have to buy an A.
You have to buy an A. Yeah, it's going to take. That's actually going to cost you.
All right. So now as I'm going to take Richard Panik, Duncan Keith, and Nick Schmaltz.
Schmaltzy.
Yeah.
And the Panicker, your hockey name.
And the writing.
But that's your daily name.
And then now Judy is coming to the game tonight, and she left, so she gets whatever left over.
Oh, she's going to love that.
Yes.
Is she going to try to ride the Zamboni tonight as a rain check because she didn't get to ride it on her birthday?
Oh.
We can
get her. That'd be awkward.
Oh, God. I hope not.
Judy, climb on my shoulders. You can get up there.
All right. Let's see here. Is it Kevin or Violetta?
I think I'm going to go next.
Okay.
I get Seabrook, Forsling, and Sharp.
Oh, Sharpie. Mm. All right. Kev.
I'll go Boma Wingles Murphy.
Boma Wingles Murphy. All right, that leaves Cody Franzen.
Franzen.
Jan Ruta. This is really what's killed me, and John Hayden. What's her
name? Judy Pylak.
Judy Pylak, right, that's her name. Okay. There you go. Okay.
Good luck, caller.
At least we got through that. We didn't have to read the rules.
Yeah, nobody yelled at each other.
The most important thing, we just got through it, we got done, we got ready.
We stayed calm,
crisp,
collected.
Clean, efficient.
Right.
No chaos.
No. Limited amount of chaos. Yeah. Limited amount of knowledge, too, which I think always helps the game significantly.
And there was no taunting or, you know, name calling.
There was a little bit in the beginning because I'm winning, but, you know, I'll
who's
get past
in last
that.
Place?
Judy.
Judy. And she's not here to defend herself.
Right.
So.
It's the callers have 18 total points. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 19 total points.
The caller always wins, which is a nice game for the caller.
Then it's Violetta with 12 points. Kevin with 10.
No big deal.
Me with 9. Anna with 7. And then Judy, 4.
Oh.
And Judy is like the, you know, Judy's kind of a hockey fan.
Yeah, and she wins at a lot of games, too.
I just don't know if that's possible, though, with that score. Has she really done that bad?
Have you done that? Well, you don't even know what the hell you're doing. You don't even know how to pronounce half these names.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wasn't Forsling Frosting?
Frostling.
When you first picked him?
Yeah, I saw him. He was doing pretty good, though. And then I see
What is doing pretty good? He's skating hard.
I see him on the board. He seems like he's. But honestly, in hockey, it's a lot of popularity, too, you know?
No, sure.
His name's up and
coming.
That's
what you get points for, sure.
Well,
his name's
you
up
do.
He's up and coming. He's trending. He's trending
he
now.
He's trending now.
He's got a lot of likes.
I heard his name, like, everywhere.
Yeah, right.
It was on Instagram.
Yeah. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. But I like calling him Frosting.
Okay. She likes him on the Snapchatter. Chitter.
Snapchat, the YouTubers.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, it was really funny when the car, before we, as we got here this afternoon, early this afternoon, before they opened up the building, they were driving the Chevy Equinox down the corridor here, right? You know, in the concourse.
Kind of crazy to see
to get it into its position here as a point. You know,
gorgeous car.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. But the greatest moment was, you know, this thing is driving through the concourse.
Right.
And immediately, you know, my first thought is, oh, my God.
Run for the exits.
Yes.
Duck.
I'm panicking.
Rose underneath the table.
Exactly. And she's like, oh, I got to get this on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Which I now believe will be Violetta's last words. Wait. I got to get this on Snapchat.
No, listen. I just started snapping, Instagramming, actually. And it's kind of fun. It's addicting. I could see why the kids are doing it.
You are the kids.
I know, but I was kind of behind.
You. The Snapchatters, the Instagrammers.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, let's have a good game tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Put our pants on one leg at a time. Yeah, let's get all over it.
Okay. Fight, fight, fight.
I feel good about this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Coach Fox have a pregame speech for the Black
Hey, you know what? Hit him to the right. Hit him to the left. Go, team.
Score some goals.
Ignore Coach Fox, Chicago Blackhawks. Ignore everything he tells you. Do not listen to that man.
All right. Yeah, here's how this works. You got an action,
right?
A reaction, and then an outcome.
Can you put that on the board for us? I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I got to get to the board.
Can you write that down, Coach?
Because I think he did.
I feel like Coach Q would just scare John Fox into not.
Oh, yeah. The face off.
Like, just play better, kid.
He would just melt him with his eyes.
That's what it would be.
I want to meet him, Coach
Q. Okay. You better get to me fast, because I'll be out of town pretty soon. All right. Are we? Is it time now? I think it is time now. We've got Chicago Blackhawks hockey coming your way in about 2 minutes.